by the end of the year, 200,000. That's my target. In the beginning, oh, I would recommend maybe 1% exposure, and it became 2%, and now it's 5%, and now it's 10%. If, like I'm expecting, the printer is going to go on in September, oh boy, we're going to spill into 2026, and maybe if something happens to Coinbase, well, it's going to impact 9 out of the 11 ETFs. So that's a huge problem in one way. The other way is...
What's up, guys? Before we get started, I've realized that over 50,000 of you guys keep coming back for every single episode. And while I'm eternally grateful for you guys to keep coming back, I've realized that 79% of you guys are not subscribed. So I have one small ask before we get started. If you guys could hit that subscribe button and hit that like button to help send this interview and many more to the stratosphere, it would be greatly appreciated. All right, enough for me. Let's get into the show. Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, Mauricio, or Mr. M Crypto, host of the best podcast maybe in the game, outside of this one, of course. But Mauricio, we have a freaking crazy time going on. The price is pumping and corporate adoption is rapidly coming. So with all of this, how are you feeling about this cycle and how high do you think we're going now?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It was great meeting you in Vegas. I got my hug, so good energy. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I'm super excited. I'm pumping, man. We've gone over 120, so I'm actually happy. As I told you off camera, we are retesting, you know, the lower level because it was going up super fast. So I don't mind a little bit of a retest. But yeah, we go to the moon, man. This is crazy. The best part is yet to come.
100%. Now, you've been in the game for a little bit, as have I, and I think like everybody tries to compare these cycles to different times, right? So, you know, I think your worry was similar to a lot of others that have been in it for a little bit, where it's like, all right, we're starting to go up, but we're starting to go up quickly. And it's like, all right, hold up. I want to still stack some of my sats. Do you think that this is going to be one of those cycles that, you know, once we start going and going up, obviously we're retesting a little bit, one at 120 as we're recording here on the 15th. But, you know, this feels like a little bit different just because of how much money is coming in. Do you think that this is one where, you know, once we start going and the FOMO money starts to come in, it's going to be a wild cycle? Or do you think it's going to be, you know, maybe a little bit similar to others past, where, you know, we still get the volatility on the way up?
It's a fantastic question. You know, they say history never repeats, it rhymes. So I feel like we are experiencing somewhat a 2017 mixed with other cycles, because of course players are different now. So the game has to be different. I know that this time is different. It's a meme at this point. I get it. But you have counter institutions. Players are different in the game. So of course I'm not expecting the same cycle. But to be honest with you, I'm expecting a more mellow cycles in either directions. I don't think we're going to see a omega candle from $100K to $1 million in 1 week, but I think it's going to build up, you know, strong and steady as opposed to violent. I mean, there is going to be volatility, of course, but I think it's going to be more mellow, if it makes sense.
Yeah. Why do you think that it's going to be more mellow?
Well, because I think retail sells and buy from impulsive, right? Like, for example, let's say whenever the price was lower, meaning many more people could quote unquote afford one Bitcoin, the game was different. You were buying and selling and it was easier for you to enter and leave. But now people that are buying, they're not selling when it doubles. Like Bukele is not selling at 200,000. Seldra is not selling at 200,000. So those players are going to buy for the long term, which means whoever is selling is probably someone who's entered maybe 10 years ago, maybe someone who I've seen a bunch of whales moving old wallets, doing billions of dollars, investing maybe $1,000 a few years back. So it makes sense for them to offload some of those coins. But for those players, institutions, and countries coming, like Texas is buying millions of dollars, they're not going to sell when this thing is going to 200,000. So I have the feeling there's going to be a more kind of mellow, yeah, in both directions. So I'm not even expecting a 90% correction, by the way, in the bear market, because I believe there's going to be a time where some people are going to offload, but it's not going to be as brutal as the one we've seen, me and you, we've seen in the past, like 90%, right? It's going to be way more delicate in both directions, if it makes sense.
Yeah. So if you think it's going to be delicate, you know, the word super cycle is always thrown around. Do you think that this is going to be somewhat of that? Or do you think it's going to be kind of, I guess, similar to what we've seen where, you know, we get like 10 or 15 days where it's just absolutely exploding. And then we turn around, we're like, oh shit, how did we get here? We're at 250, 300, 400, 500K.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I mean, I guess it depends on how we define super cycle, right? So for me, a super cycle would be somewhat a continuation in next year. Let's say if we go to 2026 and the price keeps going up 20, 15, 20, 30%, well, then we broke the 4-year cycles because technically the cycle should be over at the end of this year, right? October, November, depending on when you start accounting. But if we go into 2026 and we see a 20%, 30% appreciation and we have not corrected 40, 50, 60% down, well, technically we have broken the cycle, right? But that doesn't mean we have to go to $1 million. I mean, we will eventually, of course. Like we will see, you and me, we will see $1 million in our lifetime for sure. But the question is when and how long it's going to take. And all it depends on how much FOMO there is. Apparently, this week is going to be crazy for crypto because there is a bunch of news that we are all waiting for. First of all, the Feds are going to speak, CPI. Also, we have the resignation of Jerome Powell, maybe, in the cards. And apparently someone said that on the 22nd of July, crypto is going to change. Sorry, I'm going to say the bad word. Crypto is going to change forever because they have some announcement to do and banks are allowed to hold all these kind of coins. So I'm expecting some craziness. So I think there's going to be a wild moment coming in, maybe a 30, 40%. And by the way, when I say mild, I mean, you know, for a traditional finance person, it's like a vomit sensation because I'm still planning 30, 40%, right? So those are numbers that in traditional finance, you don't see. Or if you are a gold bug, I mean, 5% in a year, it's a huge move, right? So still violent, but not as violent as the one that you and me experienced back in 2014 or 2017, for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, with that, it seems like there's going to be some of these more violent swings. And I personally think that we're going to start to see it all the way through 26, because if you look at some of these cycles, you see like the all-time high is always farther away from the halving. This time we actually got the all-time high pre-halving, so it is a little bit different comparatively. So it's going to be a unique cycle. So obviously everybody says, you know, like you said, it's a meme at this point that this cycle is different, but it already is, strictly just because we hit the all-time high pre-halving. Now with these big players coming in, you know, you mentioned something interesting with, like, you know, Sailors never selling and all of these corporations now that are coming online. You know, what do you make of traditional finance starting to come in and, you know, essentially put Bitcoin on the balance sheet as like this new wave that we're seeing here in 2024? Like, how significant do you think that that is? And yeah, like, do you hold any weight on that? Or did you think that this was just something that, you know, is par for the course that was going to happen eventually?
100%. I mean, some people are saying, oh, it's the Trump pump. Of course, Donald Trump, which is a crypto president, is going to impact the market short term. But I believe Bitcoin would have gone there eventually anyway, right? We don't care about who wins the election in long time frame. In a short time frame, yeah, of course, people are going to trade the news, right? But in the long time frame, I don't think it's a problem. And I think there's going to be so many companies entering the space because now there is no stigma. If you say, I own Bitcoin, it's not like in 2017 or 2013 where people are like, oh, this is bad money. It's like bad players and, you know, corrupt individuals. Now it's okay. There is an ETF, which is the fastest in history. You have a president who's done a bunch of NFT collection, a bunch of meme coins. So, you know, he opened the road over there. You have a bunch of countries. I mean, El Salvador, Bhutan, those things are on the news. So whenever you say, I want to do something, I want to use my cash instead of watching destroying itself through inflation, I want to invest into some asset. Well, Bitcoin now has to be considered. And I don't even think we've seen the impact yet of all those things that we just named. Like for now, we had, I don't know, like a teenager coming out, you know, and say, hey, I'm 16 years old. I, you know, I'm volatile, but I'm cool. I'm decentralized. I'm divisible, transportable. I'm kind of gold, but better. But now institutions and countries are literally saying, we have it on the balance sheet. And it's getting bigger and bigger. I also believe there is a lot of companies like Apple, Google, Microsoft, they might won't have it yet on their balance sheet, but they are going to acquire companies. They are doing something with it because that's how they operate. Think about Instagram, think about LinkedIn, think about Skype. They let them go, they let them test their own products. And then at some point, because they have a lot of cash, they just bought them up. So I'm expecting those big giants acquiring a lot of companies in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years to come. And at some point, they'll have to expose their cash to this asset. You know, it's becoming much, much, much harder to ignore Bitcoin at this point, because like many people have said, we've gone to 100,000, we're going to 1 million. Like, there is never seen, we've never seen in history of humankind an asset that's gone to 2 trillion market cap and then died, right? So the genie is out. Everyone is seeing it. So it's up to you to, you know, if you missed $1, you miss $10, you miss $100, you miss $1,000. You can keep missing it all the way up, or you can do something about it and buy some.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned the Fed a little bit earlier, right? We have like the CPI coming out here tomorrow as we're recording this. And then we have, you know, the potential of Jerome Powell, you know, resigning. And basically that means that the next guy coming in is 100% going to cut interest rates. Now, a lot of Bitcoiners hold or used to hold a lot of weight, I would say, in the like current macro situation. But this time I think is very interesting because, you know, we have, you know, a lot of geopolitical conflicts going around the globally. And, you know, the general narrative from traditional finance is that the overall economy is doing all right, right? But I think from Bitcoiners' perspective, they see inflation still very high. They see a lot of issues. And I think they've opened Pandora's box of seeing that, hey, traditional fiat system's done. It's screwed. But now, you know, it is interesting where these worlds are colliding. So I'm curious how you view the overall macro situation and as it kind of pertains to Bitcoin. Do you think that, you know, are you holding any weight on the potential decision of Jerome Powell to quote unquote step down or, you know, the cutting of interest rates here in the future as like something that you're holding weight where, you know, you're trying to load up as much Bitcoin as you can right now, because once that happens, all bets are off?
100%. I mean, that's always the case, right? Stack stats, always. Fed, no Fed, CPI. It doesn't matter, right? That's the rule. Stack stats as much, yes. But of course, there's going to be a short-term impact, right? Like the market reacts. There is a lot of people, they trade the news, trade the events. So we'll see a bunch of swings coming in and coming out. But everything is becoming cheaper with Bitcoin, right? We've seen it. We experience it. I've seen a meme the other day, which was fun because it wasn't a meme, but it was treated as of was a meme. And it was showing how much money you would have if instead of buying every single iPhone, you would invest it in Bitcoin. Nuts. Like we're talking about millions of dollars just for your phone that you change every year. So everything is becoming cheaper compared to Bitcoin. So of course, no financial advice. That's what I'm doing. I'm stacking like crazy. I actually have next to no fiat under my name anyway. But side note, I think there's going to be a huge moment when they're going to start printing money. China printed, I think it was yesterday. So I think the US is going to turn on the printer. Trump wants money to be printed, you know. He wants that to be cheap. So I think we experience a lot of people with money saying, hey, you know, they're about to print a chunk of supply. So I have to save myself in assets. So what do I have? Which assets I can get as fast as possible? And there's not many, right? So I think Bitcoin is going to, if like I'm expecting, the printer is going to go on in September. Oh boy, I think we will see that probably last run into this market if the cycles are going to be respected, because it could be very much be like you said, that we're going to spill into 2026 and maybe break out of those four-year cycles. It's super possible.
What if I told you you never had to sell your Bitcoin? Instead, you can borrow against it with Salt Lending. Why give up your hard-earned Bitcoin when you can unlock its value without letting it go? With Salt, you get secure Bitcoin collateralized loans with no credit checks, no prepayment fees, and best of all, no rehypothecation. Salt has had zero customer collateral losses since it launched. Salt was the first platform to offer Bitcoin collateralized loans starting way back in 2016. Today, they offer tailored options for both individuals and businesses. And now introducing Salt Shield, the no liquidation solution. No forced liquidations during the lifetime of your loan when you're enrolled with Salt Shield. This just launched at the Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, and it is next level peace of mind. For Green Candle listeners only, head to saltlending.com/green-candle for this exclusive offer for your Bitcoin collateralized loan. you can get cash for your Bitcoin today. Salt Lending, secure, trusted, proven. Yeah, and I think it's interesting kind of the way that this is all, you know, I guess playing out. But, you know, with this, like, how do you view just the overall economy in general? Do you think that we're, you know, globally very, strong? Or do you think that, you know, we're kind of feeling the effects of the inflation from the money printing that we saw back 4 or 5 years ago?
100%. I mean, I think the economy is super weak. Like, if you just go to buy some groceries, right? Like, you can feel it for yourself how crazy expensive everything became. Okay, it depends where do you live. I get it. But overall, London, New York, like those big cities, even Dubai, for what it's worth, everything is becoming really expensive compared to a few years ago, right? And it takes time. Like, whenever they printed, I think during the pandemic, they printed 50% of the supply. 50% of the entire supply of dollars was printed during the pandemic. I think it was in 6 months. So it takes time for that to affect our lives, right? So I think now is that time where we can not just smell the fire, but actually feel the fire next to us. So hence probably why Bitcoin has gone into a rampage. I mean, gold has gone bananas. It broke the all-time high. I think it was 6 months ago, whenever, because of these reasons, like rich people have assets, right? That's the old thing. Like, fiat money doesn't store value. I mean, it does compared to other fiats. If you compare the dollar to Turkish lira, the dollar is doing better, but still is down 99% since the inception of the dollar itself. So they are not clearly made to store the value. So if you are someone who has a bunch of money on the bank, I mean, we know the rules, right? Not money, not in the bank, not yours, but whatever. You'll have to purchase assets. And I think Bitcoin is establishing itself really fast into the list of stuff you can purchase to protect yourself. Because, like I said, you don't have many options, man. I mean, where do you save yourself into? Okay, you have gold, you have real estate. I mean, gold is not in your hands. Okay, you have to trust a third party. Real estate is not easy to buy. You have to go through lawyers and really risky, right? Depending on the area. So Bitcoin is super liquid, is in your hand. You own it. I mean, it's just wins over every, you know, if you think about it, it's just a no-brainer. So the more people are going to understand and study and read and trust their financial advisor, which are going to start recommending it, I think we will actually see some serious price appreciation coming in.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. And it's interesting because I think River just put out a recent study that more Americans own Bitcoin and crypto than gold right now. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of, you know, traditional financial people kind of say, you know, that they're looking to get into more of gold as an inflation hedge, opposed to getting into something like a gold or something else. So do you think, you know, that is something that you're noticing as well, that you're seeing like more people kind of get, I guess maybe crypto curious is the phrase here, where they're starting to dip their toes in a little bit? Because, you know, I even had my dad buy Bitcoin a few years ago. And, you know, he was a part of one of these exchange blowups, unfortunately. You know, they didn't have too much in there, thank God. But now he came to me and he was like asking me when I was in Austin this past weekend, hey, I've got a little bit of Bitcoin. And then now he's dipping into the other cryptos too. And I'm trying to tell him, hey, dude, just Bitcoin only. But it's interesting that now he's starting to get back into it. Is that something that you're noticing as well?
100%. And by the way, I do believe that I actually tweeted this early this morning before going to the gym. Anyone who's purchasing anything rather than Bitcoin is a Bitcoiner. They don't know just yet. They will become Bitcoiner later on, because that's the journey most people have to go through, because greed kicks in. Oh, Bitcoin is not enough. 50% a year is not enough. Compounding 50% a year is not enough. Okay, good. Go and gamble in the casino. You'll be back 100%. But yeah, sure. I mean, think about a 18 years old today or 20 years old today. That makes me feel super old, but whatever, with my 50 years of age. But think about this. Everything is digital, right? There is no concept of owning gold. Like, gold is such an ancient thing. Like, if you are a Peter Schiff, like, okay, whatever, maybe. But the new generation coming up, I was reading an article, I think it was on Bitcoin magazine, that was saying back when I was 18 or 20, which was 30 years ago, having a Ferrari was a flex. Having a Lamborghini was a flex. Now you just show off maybe some Bitcoin or some digital assets. It is changing. You have your phone always with you. Everything is digital around you. It makes sense that you want to have something into a different format, as opposed to a gold of brick or brick of gold, sorry, in your living room? Do you show to your friends? I mean, do you hang it to your neck? I mean, yeah, okay, jewelry, maybe watches, that kind of stuff, but it can be stolen, you know, you can lose it. So it doesn't make sense for you to flex with these things. So I'm expecting actually the new generation to come up and play with crypto, hence entering. They don't know yet, but they will discover Bitcoin later on, because that's what majority of the people, they have next to no knowledge on crypto. They just go into whatever coin, maybe a meme coin, maybe some shit coin like XRP or whatever. No comments over there. And then they'll figure it out in a cycle or two that if they want to actually keep their money, Bitcoin is the answer. So yes, I'm expecting also many more to come. So the more the new generation are coming out, the more I think this is going to expand super fast, as opposed to gold is going to go up always, right? Because you will have, I don't think it's going to stop at 22 trillion. Gold is going to continue to go, but Bitcoin is going to catch up, and the old crypto sector subsequently, of course, is going to keep growing. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Bitcoin has, you know, you're mentioning gold. Obviously, gold has the largest market cap of any asset. But, you know, Bitcoin has passed Amazon, gone back a little bit, you know, so it's the fifth or sixth largest asset in, and it's created 16 years ago, right, by market cap right now. Obviously, gold's been around for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. Do you think that we get to passing the gold market cap here, like, fairly quickly? Because it seems like, you know, although you're saying gold is, I guess, really starting to see an increase, I think that we're starting to see something unique that I think we're going to see in Bitcoin here later on, is that we're seeing a lot of central banks load up on Bitcoin or on load up on gold right now, the physical asset. But we're also seeing the ETFs lose a lot of that, because I think people are kind of flocking towards the initial, hey, I want the heart, or I want gold, I want some sort of exposure. And then now they're flocking more towards the physical asset. Do you think that that's what we're going to kind of see here down the line, is like, hey, you know, we have a lot of people potentially going for these, you know, the ETFs, you know, everybody's joking about the meme of the potential paper Bitcoin, that those that could have, you know, some serious implications. But, you know, I think we'll get there. You know, everybody will maybe want to, hey, you know what, I'll dip my toe in, get a little bit of the ETFs. And then they'll realize, hey, you know what, this ETF is trash. I want the actual physical thing of Bitcoin. Do you see that as kind of a transition, or do you just always, are you kind of along the lines thinking, hey, these ETFs are bad, they're not really teaching the true ways of Bitcoin, and maybe people won't really get to that point of actually holding in self-custody?
That's a good question. I mean, I first of all, the largest is the organization, the slower is changes in general, right? If you are the Chinese government who owns trillions of dollars in gold, I mean, in order for them to pivot into Bitcoin and sell all of it is going to take a long time. Whether if you are a small, like if you are Bhutan, for example, you can, or El Salvador, you can be more agile, more fast. So the largest, the slowest. But also I'm thinking, now that we are discussing it, ETFs are actually, I'm not against, I think they are a great thing, right? Because they're going to allow certain individual to own Bitcoin. They don't actually own it. They have a IOU in dollars, which is different, but it's a way for them to enter into the space, right? And ever since the ETF was approved last year in January, we've seen a huge price appreciation. So we can't have the price pump without having the ETF, if it makes sense. It comes with it. It's part of with it. So I welcome it. I think it's going to propagate. It's going to help sending the message out. And like you said, it's going to convert a portion of those investors into self-custody, which is the absolute way. If you ask me, self-custody all the way. Not your keys, not your supermodel, like we say. So you have to take control of your finances, self-sovereignty. But I also understand it's not for everybody. I have many friends in my network. They don't want to even hear about it. They just want to trust someone else. And this is why banks were invented in the first place, right? Because people do not want to have responsibilities. They want to blame something or someone. So it becomes much easier to say, I want to be part of this network, but I don't want responsibility in holding my own keys, because when we say, oh, it's only a bunch of words in your head, well, it's not. It's a little bit more complicated than that, right? And you know, because you've been in this space long enough. But you have to build a plan, think about redundancy and what happens if I pass, is my wife okay, my kids? It's a little bit more complicated. So you have to go into a journey. And if you would have told me when I started in 2013, oh, go in self-custody, I would probably freak out. So it's easier for someone who's done it for a long time to say, oh, it's easy. But for someone who's new, you know, we have to remember everyone has his own time to digest these technologies. So I'm actually very happy ETF have been approved in general, and the numbers are there to see. So there is definitely interest. And for some organizations like pension funds, for example, they are actually, it's a good thing. Now, the bad thing is that the Bitcoin is not in the investor hands. There is a third party. Actually, it's an interesting, when you look into it, it's an interesting setup, because think about Strategy or Michael Saylor. They don't even have Bitcoin. Coinbase has their Bitcoin. So that's another level on another level. So BlackRock doesn't custody the ETFs themselves. They have a custodian. So it becomes like a paper castle. Right? So if something happens to Coinbase, well, it's going to impact 9 out of the 11 ETFs. So that's a huge problem in one way. Another way is the BlackRock, even though they don't buy Bitcoin, well, they do buy, but the majority comes from retail. I think 60% is still retail buys. BlackRock doesn't have to give them back their Bitcoin when they sell. They can just give them fiat, which means they can keep the asset and they give away the horrible stuff. They could even loan, borrow against their stack and pay off in fiat. So that could be kind of problematic. But I think it's part of the adoption process. Excuse me, part of the adoption process. You can't have price appreciation if only a bunch of people like you and me have Trezor or whatever the device is in your drawers and you keep your own keys in your own hands. You have to have certain players involved, right, to propagate this. And those players, they certainly are not going to store their keys into a cold storage device like you and me do. So it's part of the game, I think, if it makes sense.
This bull run, I'm looking for ways to stack Bitcoin in my sleep, and mining has always caught my eye. I've partnered with the guys over at Simple Mining to help you do just that. I don't recommend anything that I don't use personally, so I've got a machine up and running with them right this second. And they've even opened the facility up so anyone can go and visit. They manage over 15,000 machines for 500 clients, handling all of the maintenance and repairs so you don't have to. And for the Green Candle listeners, they're giving an exclusive offer: all the repairs for the first year for free. So if you've been thinking about mining, head on over to simplemining.io/greencandle to get this exclusive offer and learn about the potential tax benefits that you can get from mining with Simple Mining. All right, enough from me. Let's get back to the show. Yeah, no, 100%. I definitely think so. But what worries you more? Is it the potential of Coinbase, you know, kind of going belly up? Or is it more of BlackRock? Because, I mean, BlackRock historically, right, has always been, I think, you know, pulling the strings in the background. You know, I mean, they're the largest asset manager in the world. But then now we have Coinbase, who potentially Brian Armstrong could be like the most powerful guy in crypto at this point, because he's been in with Trump. I know we've got David Bailey of Nakamoto, who's, you know, been outstanding over at Bitcoin Magazine as well, like bringing in and helping, you know, bring along the vice president this year in Vegas, where we saw each other. And then, you know, Donald Trump when he was running last year. So, I mean, how do you feel about either potentially Brian Armstrong or Larry Fink or both of them? Do you think that they're both a net positive or a net negative for Bitcoin here?
Well, I mean, I think at this point it's too big to fail, right? If they wanted to break it per se, they would have broke it before. Now there is a huge market. I mean, Wall Street hasn't even entered the party yet. So I don't think there's any reason to worry per se. And if you are indeed worried, the best defense is self-custody, I always say, right? So if you are someone who's worried about those things that we just listed, the ETFs, and by the way, BlackRock is not an angel. They are evil. It's an evil corporation, right? So let's not forget who they are. But then just go self-custody, right? Just take action, study. You don't have to do it today. You can do it. You can plan it and say, okay, for the next few months, I am, you know, planning to get custody of my own coins. Perfect. That's the best way to defend yourself. Then after all, we can't forbid people to use this network. Like Jeff Booth says, Bitcoin is my enemy's money. I can't say you can't use it, but I can. Otherwise, it's not decentralized, it's not open, it's not permissionless. Like, we have to accept the fact that this is an open network and anyone can participate, right? So who am I to forbid you to join? Oh no, BlackRock is evil, they can't buy. Well then, it's fiat money, we already have it, right? So we have to let go of the control part and let the network do its thing. And if BlackRock is going to break Bitcoin, which is not going to happen, I don't think, well, then Bitcoin wasn't meant to be Bitcoin in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, I agree with you. I think that, you know, BlackRock getting in is kind of interesting, though, because it's almost like he's, you know, Uncle Larry here is given his blessing, so to speak, to Bitcoin. But, you know, I say that all tongue in cheek because, you know, I agree with you. BlackRock is evil. But, you know, this gives it somewhat validity towards the traditional financial world. And I still think that TradFi isn't here yet. Like, you know, we're talking about this cycle with corporations and, you know, maybe governments potentially dipping their toe in, which I want to get into that with you a little bit later. But, you know, do you think that, I mean, because you said the retail, right, is still 60, 70% of that ETF buying. So do you think TradFi is even really here yet from your, like, you know, experience, you're circled? Are you realizing, hey, more of these financial advisors maybe are starting to say, hey, you know what, you should buy Bitcoin, you should kind of get into it, all that kind of stuff. Do you think that that's the way or no?
They haven't even started. I mean, we've seen probably like the beginning of the beginning of the beginning, like a small amount of people kind of started to recommend. What's fun is to watch BlackRock saying in the beginning, oh, well, we recommend maybe 1% exposure, and it became 2%, and now it's 5%, and now it's 10%. It's going up. So I think in the next, and by the way, Trump is going to help him. I don't like politics. I don't care about who wins the election. But of course, there's going to be an impact in the short term, right? Like if there is a crypto president and there is a head of the SEC, which is bullish on cell custody, I mean, the market is going to react to this, right? Well, I mean, we can't hide this. So I think we haven't even seen that yet. It's just Trump just barely won the election only a few months ago. So all those waves, they have to yet come, right? So we'll see a huge amount of banks are going to go in, offer products. It's going to be easier for everyone. Like in 2013, 2014, I was living in the UK. You know how many times my bank blocked my account because I was purchasing Bitcoin? Like, we won't see those blocks anymore. We will see actually banks emailing you, say, hey, do you want to buy Bitcoin? We can help because we can make a commission. So all those traditional finance players, we haven't even seen them yet. And when they are going to come in, stable coins are going to flood the market, of course, because it's faster, it's cheaper. It's going to unbank so many people. Like, think about people, they live in places where banks, they don't even exist. They'll have an app. They download the app, boom, USDT. I think this is probably one of the reasons why I'm thinking that I'm never bullish enough, even though I'm trying to be conservative, but there's going to be a wave of traditional finance that's going to lift the entire sector. And we haven't even seen it yet. So no, I don't think we've seen, maybe we've seen 2% of it, maybe not even. So it's early. It's really early.
Yeah, let's get into that. I didn't know that you've gotten your bank account like blocked and everything like that from buying Bitcoin. So, you know, what was that experience like? How much I mean, you don't have to tell us how much Bitcoin, but were you buying like massive amounts? Was it something that, or was it small? Like you were buying, you know, maybe like 0.01 Bitcoin at that time. And then it's like, hey, you know what? That was when Bitcoin was like, you know, $4,000 or whatever it was. So it was only like, you know, a couple hundred dollars here or there, but then they're blocking you from doing all that. Or was it, you know, I mean, I guess you don't have to get into the exact amount here of anything like that, but in your opinion, was it justified that they were blocking because you were seeing big money moves? Because, you know, right now, for example, right, like if I were to wire you a massive amount of cash for no reason, my bank would question you, right? Because like you're saying, hey, you know what, there's not a lot of money, you know, or there's, the banks don't necessarily have your money. But, you know, with that, if you're making purchases or other things like that, they're always kind of questioning, right? I mean, I had this conversation with Gary Cardone where he was like, hey, if you go into your bank right now and you say, hey, I want $100,000 in cash, you're going to be hard pressed to find a bank that actually has that. Now, at that time when you were buying this Bitcoin, I'm not trying to have you dox yourself how much you were buying, but Was it, you know, essentially something that, you know, would have been, I guess, normal if you were doing it for something else? Or what do you really think that it was just because of Bitcoin that they were like, hey, we're putting the handcuffs on you and we're not letting you go here?
100% because it was Bitcoin, because we are talking about, I mean, Bitcoin was trading around $200, $250. So a purchase of maybe $5,000, $10,000 was giving you quite a bit of Bitcoin back in the days, right? But they didn't care about how much Bitcoin would you getting. They didn't like the fact that you were purchasing it. So, and by the way, $100,000, dude, try to get $1,000 in cash. Like, I got married in Greece. I was living in the UK. We went to Santorini to get married. And I went to the bank and I wanted to withdraw $10,000, right? Pounds, which is probably a little bit over 10, maybe 12,000 in dollars. The guy said, dude, first of all, this cannot be done. Like, this is way too much money. I can give you 500. I was like, what do you mean 500? I need to pay the florist. I want local money to just pay, you know, the cake guy and the venue. No. So 100K, dude, you won't even get 5,000 out of the bank without questioning. You can even buy, like, I always had motorcycles in my life. Sometimes you buy a decent bike. Maybe you need, I don't know, 10, 15, 20K. There's no way you can pay cash. In Italy now is illegal. Any purchase over €1,000 is illegal. Like, you have to use your card. So the bank is closing down on the amount of money, amount of fiat cash you can use. So back in the days, it wasn't even that much. I'm talking about maybe a couple of thousand here, 3,000 there. It wasn't like 100K, 50,000. It was like decent amount, like a couple of thousand here, a couple of thousand there. But it doesn't matter. They didn't like the fact, lots of warnings. Oh, you know, you're dealing with these so-and-so exchanges and it's forbidden and you can't. So they lock me out. They close my account. Barclays, which is one of the banks, they don't let you, that you can't. It's forbidden. I don't know if they changed the rules, but back in 2017, you were not allowed. Like, you don't even have the option. you can't buy crypto. That's it. And Bitcoin, of course, because for me, they are separate. But it's really bad. So now they are kind of, with Mika and a bunch of regulations that are coming out, they're saying, okay, maybe there's a lot of fintech options. You have banks. You don't even have to go to a desk. You can download an app, right, and deal with it. Some of them, they do sell Bitcoin and crypto. But I don't think it was the amount was bothering them. It was the fact that I was dealing with the sector per se.
Okay, so you've discovered Bitcoin and are on the path to financial self-sovereignty. But simply holding Bitcoin is not enough. You need to make sure that it's stored properly and you are in 100% control over all your assets. So sharing your keys with third parties and taking on that counterparty risk is not the answer. The answer is pure and simple. It's uncompromising self-custody, and there's no better way to do it than the Bitcoin way. They've got over 25 years of cybersecurity experience, and their team of experts can help you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, secure your digital life, configure your privacy phones, and even establish a Plan B residency if you're looking to do so. So I'm gonna help you guys out here and give you a free consultation if you take the first step and visit thebitcoinway.com/greencandle, and you can check out the boys at The Bitcoin Way and see how they can help you become self-sovereign. Yeah, and like the whole banking industry is still like, I mean, it's interesting because we had Trump's come out and basically say, hey, the banking industry has been just running rampant and, you know, being controlling and doing all these things for years. And, you know, to hear like a sitting president's son come on stage and say these things was pretty interesting just to kind of see it. And I mean, I was over in Europe for the past month. And, you know, we had a kid come when we're filming a little vlog in Spain, and he has, you know, one of the Discover student credit cards. And he didn't tell Discover, hey, we're going to Spain before. And then he told them, like, while he was there, hey, this is actually me. But his card was shut down literally the entire time. Like, he could, if he didn't have us, he would have been screwed because he couldn't have gotten any access to his money. And it just kind of, you know, is another example here of like, your money in your bank really isn't your money. And the interesting thing is, you know, kind of what you're saying, like, hey, if I would have bought Bitcoin instead of an iPhone, you know, you could probably find some place in some way. Like, I mean, I found this giant Bitcoin spray painted garage when I was in Barcelona. And, you know, you could probably find some place to have somebody accept some goods and services for Bitcoin. So, but I'm curious where you think, I mean, you're in Dubai, right? So the crypto tax laws are a little bit more friendly there as far as like transaction stuff. Are you seeing like adoption in that way kind of come around this cycle where people are transacting for goods? Or are you kind of on the more Mark Moss approach where you think this is kind of like a 50-year, you know, development of this where, you know, we're kind of in the second 10 years where, you know, the first 10 it's retail, second 10 it's institutions, third 10 it's governments, then the fourth and fifth 10-year cycles or 10-year periods are more of the adoption kind of transaction cycles. Where do you think we are kind of in, as far as like the peer-to-peer exchange goes?
As I think it's gonna take a little bit longer, but you can be creative. For example, I orange peel my dentist. So, you know, you can talk to them and say, hey, you know what? I can send you dirham, which is the local currency here on the bank, or I can help you setting up a wallet and I can send you Bitcoin. So, you know, it still requires a lot of work, but I can tell you since I've been involved, so it's been, 13 years, things have changed massively, like massively. So there has been a progress, but we are not at the point where we're going to be able to send each other Bitcoin over groceries and coffees. And I think we are far away from that. I don't think Bitcoin is also, I would argue also it's not the best system. It takes up to 7 minutes for a transaction to be settled. So I wouldn't use a store of value that, I mean, the cost of the transaction could overcome the cost of the product that you're buying. So I think we are far away from that day where you can go and acquire things. But there are stuff like Lightning Network is super powerful. There is technology coming in. I think Tether is building on Bitcoin, a stable coin. So there is a lot happening, but I think we need another maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 years before this is going to go to the next level per se. But hence why we have an opportunity to front run basically everybody. And people look at the price and go, 100,000, man, it's too late. But man, it's early, it's super early. But the perception is since one Bitcoin is over 100,000, most think, you know, I missed the train. And I get it every single day when I talk to people and they're like, no, man, it's too late. I passed it. I passed the opportunity, right? But again, you know, we will be here, me and you, when Bitcoin is going to be over $1 million saying, well, that's a 10X right there. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, so what's your argument when you say that to people? Because like what I'm starting to use is like, hey, there's 59 million millionaires globally right now, right? So it's that's super uncommon to be a millionaire. But just to own a million sats, 0.01 Bitcoin, there's like 13 million wallets that have that much. Obviously, it's public, right? So you can see all those things. So it's, you know, before I was using the argument when Bitcoin was like at under 100,000. So I was like, hey, for less than $1,000, you can be in a group smaller than millionaires. But now it's getting a little bit harder, right? It's like $1,200 now, maybe, but still like still pretty obtainable for the average person, maybe in the West. You know, that's the kind of way that the framing that I'm trying to use. Like, what are you trying to use to tell people when they say that, hey, I'm too late?
You know what, to be completely honest, I don't even try. I'm exhausted, man. I mean, I've been called names, ridiculous. I mean, it's been a long 13 years, and the same people, they call me an idiot or a scammer because it was, you know, I was enthusiastic. Whenever you discover something in the beginning and you start studying it, you know, and you see how beautiful it is, you want to share it with your friends, right? Because you are passionate about it, not just Bitcoin, like anything else. Like I was talking to you about the gym earlier. I'm loving it, so I'm enthusiastic about it. Same was for Bitcoin. Like when I understood what it was, I wanted to, I don't want to say help because it sounds crazy, but I wanted to share my experience with as many people as possible. And oh boy, that was a really bad idea. So now I'm like, when people are coming to me and say, I'm too late, you know what, whatever. Like I don't even, I'm done trying to convince people. I don't care. I know it sounds horrible, but I've gone over it. Whether on the other hand, if someone is interested or genuinely interested and they ask me questions, yeah, of course we can go down to a path. But usually my go-to will be, think about the market cap of the asset itself. It's $2 trillion, a little bit over $2 trillion. It's nothing, right? So the growth of the market cap per se has so much space to go into. So that's, I think about gold, like you mentioned, 22 trillion, more or less. So that's a 10X away from gold. So that's the argument I usually take out, right? Saying, well, you think about it from a quote-unquote wrong angle, look at the market cap as opposed to the price, because there is a huge amount of growth. And think about who owns this asset, right? Now you have very different type of players and individuals involved, which means it's going to allow this thing to be distributed, right? Like, one thing is if I say I own Bitcoin and nobody knows who I am, who cares? But if a counter comes up, if Trump pushes it, you know, if Michael Saylor shows up every day, how long do you think it's going to take for other companies to look at Saylor and go, damn, this guy scooping up like there is no tomorrow, is now basically getting credits to borrow more, to buy more Bitcoin. I mean, at some point, you are going to have to say, okay, wait, maybe we should think about, maybe we should take 2% or 1%, and that's it, because then that's all we need, man. We don't need everyone to go like me all in. We just need people to consider 1%, 5%. Then we're going to experience the so-called supply shock, because now whenever people are buying stuff on exchanges, they still have reserve. OTCs are still healthy, but it's going down. So we haven't even seen the supply shock yet. So at some point, we're going to have to face the fact that there is not enough Bitcoin for the demand. Like, Saylor alone is scooping up now weekly, apparently, and he's not buying one. You know. So yes, there is someone who's selling. But I think I was reading on a tweet, someone tweeted the other day, for the past 3 months, every week, the amount of buy was 3.8 higher than the amount of actually Bitcoin available on the market. So at some point, those reserves are going to finish. This is where probably we're going to experience the Omega candle, right? Because then that's how price goes up. When, you know, if I want to buy it and nobody wants to sell it, well, the price is going up, because, you know, otherwise there's no point. So I think we are about to experience, maybe we are a few months away from that, but at some point, there is also that to put on the cake. That would be the cherry on the cake, probably, the supply shock.
Yeah, do you think we're going to have that supply shock? Because I've been screaming it for the rooftops here, because, I mean, exactly what you're saying, right? We're getting Saylor alone. I looked at it the other day, and he's literally bought Bitcoin every single Monday except for two this entire year. And we're already halfway through, right? We're recording this July 15th. So he's literally announcing buys every single week for the entirety of this year. And like you said, right? I mean, it's just one company doing that, but there's multiple companies announcing monthly and all of these different things. And then on top of it, we have the ETFs, and the amount of Bitcoin on OTC desks is going down significantly. I think that there's like, you know, maybe like 250K or something like that just still left on OTC desks. And then on top of it, there's just like 2 million Bitcoin left on exchanges at this point. So I think, you know, we're going to start to see that supply shock, because those reserves are just draining out, because, you know, the miners are going to be one seller, but, you know, they only have so much Bitcoin that they're mining every single week. So do you think we're going to see a supply shock this cycle if this catches up?
100%. I mean, that's how we go into the banana zone, like Raoul Powell calls it, right? Because I think it's the supply shock that comes in, and it takes from the halving a few months. It's not immediate, right? The effect of the halving, from our perspective, we don't even feel it on the day of the halving. We feel it a few months after, right? Because of course now, on top of all of these, the number of Bitcoin is like chopped in half. So it's even more scarcer. And I don't know if you've seen that video, which is kind of a meme, I guess, which is this guy at the festival, he's dancing alone and people are laughing at the guy, and then another guy goes in and another guy, and in the end, everyone is dancing, right? I think that's what's happening with Bitcoin. So Saylor is there dancing and having a good time. And there is all these companies like Nakamoto, Pompliano came out, Jack Mulder, and say, hey, you know what? We're going to also do that. And I think Lynn Alden raised $100 million with Jeff Booth, if I'm not mistaken, for another company. So there's going to be many more players coming in, right? Saying, hey, wait a second, let's, you know, this is interesting. We can actually make money here, right? Because Bitcoin is becoming more adopted, per se. So we will see that coming into a point where, like you said, the market doesn't even have the supply. So this is going to become interesting. I mean, we have to keep in mind that there's going to be always someone selling, yes, but the question is how many people are going to buy. And that's where I believe we will see the banana zone, right? Because imagine you are someone who bought at $1. I mean, you're not going to hold forever. Like, you got to sell, Because I like I have Sina once a month with Plan C. We do a you know a check on the data, and Sina said something super interesting. When he said once, whoever is not selling Bitcoin is because they don't have enough. And I agree. Like if you had a huge pot of Bitcoin, like 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, you would sell every now and then, right? Without even thinking about it. Now, who's not selling? Who's not have enough? So I think those people, they bought back in the days, they are going to be offloading a bunch every now and then. But the demand, the amount of people wanting to purchase them is going to surpass that. Now, having said that, though, there is also something to consider, which is the longer Bitcoin is going to run, the higher the price is going to be, which means, you know, it's going to become, quote, less affordable. Like now Saylor is pulling out those crazy buy, but those number of Bitcoin is going to diminish, right? Like he buys 3,000, 4,000, but in 10 years, he will buy maybe 20 with the same amount of money, right? So there's also that to consider. Hence why I think the supply shock is going to come once every cycle, if the cycles are going to be still in play, because maybe they will be extended, they will get canceled, whatever it is. So the supply shock will be only a moment in time, maybe a couple of months, maybe 30 days, where there's a huge amount of demand and there is not enough coins on the market. But then after, it's going to level again, ready for the next cycle, if it makes sense.
Why would you ever hold generational wealth on a piece of paper? It doesn't make sense. You need a foolproof solution, and I've got it for you. You could get this as low as $25, and if you use promo code GreenCandle, you could get 10% off. Being around for 12 years, they've engineered the perfect and most easy to use solution. I've partnered with CryptoSteel to offer for you guys just that. It is the cheapest and most secure way to store your seed phrase. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have too many things where I think one ton is going to fall on this, but it could survive all of that and more. So go to CryptoSteel.com. You can use promo code GreenCandle. You can get 10% off your entire order if you go there today. So go ahead and protect your generational wealth and do it with CryptoSteel. All right, enough from me. Back to the show. And that's where we see the Omega candle, I think, man. That's where I think all bets are off. But Mauricio, who the hell is selling? Because I don't understand. Well, like, who's selling Bitcoin at this point? Do you believe the narrative that it's the whales that have gotten in like all of this time, and they maybe had the 100K, you know, as the mental barrier, so to speak, and that's who's selling? Or do you think it's a lot of these new players coming in? I mean, we saw massive amounts of shorts just get liquidated as well. Do you think it's traditional finance trying to play some games? Because I feel like at this point, you know, we should be seeing more price appreciation. And maybe that's, you know, maybe by the time this is edited, it comes out in a couple of days, we're going to see it blow off the top and I'm going to be looking really stupid here. But do you think that, you know, we're going to start to see some of that here really quickly? Because I mean, granted, you know, we have gone from 110 to 120. We've seen maybe a 100 to 120, so maybe a 20% increase here recently. But everybody's always waiting for those big giant jumps. I know we were talking about that earlier. Do you think that we're still, you know, kind of just getting started then here?
100%. I mean, you have to consider, like you said so well. So 100,000 was a huge psychological barrier, right? Then the next one is 120, because everyone will say, oh, 120 is going to be the top and 20% above 100,000. Okay, we kind of briefly passed that. And now we are glad, I'm glad we are retesting it because it's healthy. I think 150 is going to be the next one. And then probably 200,000. But bear in mind that people are going to take profit before those targets, right? So if people are expecting 200,000, they're gonna sell it maybe 180, 190. So I think it's healthy to see 100, a bit of resistance, 120, a bit of friction, 150, and potentially another push. Now, how high we go, it's just, I wish I had an answer, but we will definitely see. I mean, we haven't even seen the fun part of the market yet, because then remember, at some point, people are going to go gambler mode and they're going to take their profits into Bitcoin. They're going to gamble into Ethereum, whatever those altcoins. So we also, I believe we will see that, because now Bitcoin season now, but we will have, I believe, a crypto season where whoever has made 10x maybe or 5x with Bitcoin, they're going to take a portion and gamble it with whatever the altcoin they're going to come up. So I don't think we've seen the top yet. This is just the beginning. What is interesting is summer usually is kind of boring. People go on holiday and just they don't trade. But now we're seeing a spicy July. So I don't know, maybe we could power through a little bit more, maybe go boring through August. And then in September, oh boy, I'm expecting a powerful September, October, November, potentially even December. And then if history repeats, January, we're going to enter the 12 months of darkness, maybe. But maybe not. Like, I'm open to the idea that there is a possibility here, which is, you know, the cycles maybe will be impacted because, like we have been discussing, different players, different game, right? So I don't discount it entirely. But for now, the data is supporting the cycles still is being respected. Hence, I'm expecting a decent pump coming in. So 120, I don't think is much compared to what I'm expecting coming in the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think, you know, I definitely think that we can see, you know, things, all bets are off here pretty soon. And it's generally like around Q3, Q4. So, I mean, you know, you're nailing it on the head here. I'm surprised that we're seeing this here in July as well. Like normally, you know, I mean, my birthday is here in like in a week or so. And I usually feel like around this time, everybody's chilling, you know, traditional finance. They got their feet up on the beach. They're lounging with their pina coladas. Well, not so fast now, but, you know, we still haven't even talked about the countries or our governments potentially coming in. You know, we mentioned Trump a little bit early on. Obviously, we have the Strategic Reserve, but they haven't bought Bitcoin just yet. They just kind of moved all over the seized Bitcoin. Do you think that we're going to see governments start to get in here, or do you think that governments are already buying? Like, what's kind of your general sense with that?
I think I have a different, an interesting angle. I think states, like look at Texas, like 10 million, boom. I think we will see that. I don't think Trump is going to buy 1 million Bitcoin in 5 years. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I guess time will tell. But I think we'll see something unexpected, like a bunch of states coming in. We'll see clearly other countries saying, whoa. We'll see probably the so-called famous China unban, which is going around forever. But I think at this point, you think about it and you say, okay, well, what's happening around me? Okay, Trump is bullish on this. He's leading the largest economy in the world. So maybe it's worth thinking about a strategy, right? Like you don't have to be Bhutan and go all in or El Salvador, but maybe taking a portion and say, let's just take this and see how it plays. I think it's going to be in many people's minds, to say the least. So I think we will see also that. But again, like I said in the beginning, the largest is the entity, the slowest is the entity itself. Like if you have a small company with two or three employees, you can pivot faster, you can invest, you can do. But if the company has 1 million employees, it takes longer. So imagine a country is a lot of bureaucracy around, and it's going to take a bit for them to go in and say, let's buy this. But I think eventually they will have to bend the knees 100%. Like Bitcoin is becoming more and more and more visible and noticeable, right? So people have two choice. They either complain they missed it or they do something about it. You know, some people are going to complain forever. And I have many friends I can name until tomorrow morning. They are going to message me every single time we do a 10X. I missed it. They missed the $100. They missed the $1,000. They missed the $10,000. $100,000, $1 million, $10 million. But also you have another type which goes, wait, I missed one, I missed 10, I missed 100, I'm not going to miss 1,000, right? So it's up to you to decide who you want to be.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this cycle is going to, I guess, really bring in a lot of people, in my opinion. I think, like, you know, obviously with what happened in the past 4 years, that brought in a bunch of people. But I think that, you know, this cycle with now the Trump traditional finance and everything, it's given Bitcoin, I guess, a little bit more validity, so to speak. Now, I think that this cycle, like everybody's saying, the meme, it's going to be different. But I think, you know, we're not even starting to buckle up yet. So I'm really excited for what's to come. But, you know, I do think that we've gotten a lot of, and I think, like, you know, you might know something here with being in Dubai. And, you know, obviously we got Bitcoin MENA and everything like that. David Bailey's been hinting at it, the Middle East potentially buying Bitcoin and, you know, Abu Dhabi potentially putting it on the balance sheet and Dubai and doing all these things. Like, with the amount of, like, the community that you have there, do you think that that's a possibility?
100%. I mean, there's been already a buy from the UAE, and I think they will continue. Of course, they want to build on digital dirham, which is the local currency. So I think they will 100% start. Now, how aggressive? That's something I don't know. Like, how long is going to take for them to go in, like, balls to the walls, per se? I don't know. But they will continue. And maybe they have done, right? Like, the pump we've seen started on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. So that was really unusual because the markets are usually Monday to Friday. So we will see these weird things, weird pumps coming in. And God knows, maybe it was a tiny supply shock, or maybe it was the beginning of the iceberg of the shock, right? So I think we have to, like you said, embrace for impact, you know, fasten your seatbelt. I think the next few months are going to be incredible. But so far, like I said, I am expecting the market, until I've been proven otherwise wrong, I'm expecting the cycle to finish at some point, maybe at the end of the year, maybe Q1 next year. But there is also the argument, which I don't discount entirely. Since the all-time high was prior to the halving, maybe the cycle is going to finish earlier. I don't know. It's difficult to say. But one thing that I'm gambling everything I have, because like I said, you know, I'm all in physically, I think corrections are going to be way milder. So we will not see a 80%, not even a 70%, to be honest. Like maybe a 50, 60% will be the largest correction, which is still significant, right? If we pump up to 300,000, that will take us to what, 120, 130? Still a significant correction, but you know, it's not going to be 90%. There is also the psychological number, which is the ETF entry, which is still low because it's 47.50, but my spider senses are tingling. They're saying they won't let it go any lower. So that would be my uber bearish case scenario, right? But there is a possibility we are going to retest maybe the lower kind of 50s if we don't go up as much. Because if we pump to, I don't know, 250, 300,000, well then, okay, there is no chance we're going to 40,000 or 50,000. But if we stop a little bit earlier, 130, 140, which is still a possibility, I mean, until data has proven otherwise, maybe a 60K, it could be on the card. But that's as far as I think is going to go on the bad side, right? But I'm still expecting by the end of the year, 200,000. That's my target, more or less. It might be 180, might be 220. But I think we will see 200,000 this cycle. I'm fairly confident. But like I said, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just throwing numbers in the air because nobody knows. But that will be, I think, a healthy cycle. And there is also, like you said, the option to break out, right? And just go to, I don't know, 500,000, to uncharted territory. And maybe we will never see a huge correction. Maybe the market is going to correct 20% here, 20% there, 5% here, 5% there. It's very much likely. So if there is one cycle that we have to look out for, is actually this cycle, because we have different players, like you said. Like, we cannot discount. I know there is a meme, this cycle is different, but damn, we have different people now. So if there is one cycle which we should be aware of, it has to be this one, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's you know, that just makes me so uber bullish here going forward. But Mr. M, Mauricio, you've been so generous with your time. So I really appreciate you coming on the show. And it was great seeing you in Vegas. Why don't you tell people where they can find out more about you, more about your show, and maybe run into you at one of these great conferences?
Yeah, thank you again. Thank you so much, man. Anytime you want me to come on the show, I will come here. You know, we had a fantastic chat also on my channel, which is at Mr. M. So at Mr. M, all my social media, so Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, you name it, it's the same handle. So I do have a podcast over there. I upload. I try 3 times a week, but it depends. So there are weeks I do 4 weeks, I do 2. I don't do less than 2 anyway. I have a similar channel to yours. Like, I speak to interesting people such as yourself. So thank you for having me on. And yeah, I'll probably be, I am thinking to go to Hong Kong. Are you coming to Hong Kong? Bitcoin Hong Kong?
No, I won't be at Hong Kong, but I might be at Amsterdam. That's a little teaser here. I'll figure that out here pretty soon. Hopefully, Craig, if you're watching this, dude, get me on stage up there. But yeah, hopefully in Amsterdam.
Nice. We should definitely have something like last year we've done. It was myself, Isa, and Robin Sayer. We did a Bitcoin panel, which was really cool in Abu Dhabi. So I'll be definitely going in Abu Dhabi, most likely Amsterdam, and probably Hong Kong. So I tend to go to the Bitcoin conferences only. I miss Prague, man. I just came back from Vegas. It was 20 hours journey, man. It was something else. So I was broken in half, and I couldn't do another. I think it's 9 hours from here to Prague. So I decided to stay, but I definitely am going to do Hong Kong, Amsterdam, and Abu Dhabi. So I'll definitely, hopefully, see you there.
Yeah, I definitely want to check out Abu Dhabi. I've never been, so I mean, I want to go and experience all that. So maybe we'll run into each other there. No guarantees yet. I'm up in the air. I'm a wild man, Maurizio. So
I know.
hopefully, I'll be at all those places. But yeah, great channel. Couldn't recommend it more. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Likewise, by the way. Always a pleasure.
Thank you guys all for tuning in to another great episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you found some value in this one, please hit that subscribe button and that like button to help send this one to the masses. And I've got a surprise for you guys. I've got 2 more episodes that you have the chance to watch here. So go ahead and click one of them, and I'll see you guys all at the next one.